Abraham made some poor choices, but listen to me. His life was not defined by those poor choices. Can I tell you this? When you make a poor choice, your life should not be defined by those poor choices. Your life should be defined by your faith in the living God.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Christians express their faith in a variety of ways. However, there are times when our faith is discouraged by our circumstances and our faith suffers. It's my hope that through this series, your faith is built and encouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part two of an obedient faith.
It's important that you do that. Self-deception, number two. It's a faith blinder. Self-deception. We can deceive ourselves. You know how we deceive ourselves? We want God's Word to say what we want it to say. You ever ran into that? Now, I want to justify what I already believe, what I know God's already saying. Can I tell you, that breaks down the whole revelation of God, that you need to read God's Word as if He's just sitting there talking to you, explaining things to you, and let Him explain His Word to you. Are you following me? It's important that we do that. Number three, pride. Pride puffs up to the place where we can't receive anything. Pride puffs up to the place where we cannot receive truth. Truth is graciously given to the humble, but pride will resist the grace of God, correct? God resists the proud, but He gives what? Grace to the humble. Some people dislike being wrong. How many of you enjoy being wrong? See, sometimes, and that's called pride, by the way, right? Pride, when we say this, I'm not wrong, even though I may be wrong. Or just come, that's even a good place to be. I may be wrong. But a lot of times we'll say this, I'm not wrong. I know that I'm right. I know that I'm right. And we won't even concede that we could be wrong. When we approach the things of God that way, that's a very, very dangerous place to be. And pride will cripple the revelation of truth. So pride will be a blinder to faith if we're not careful. I'm sure there are more blinders, and often those three work in tandem with each other. Ignorance, self-deception, and pride. They work with each other, and they're debilitating to faith, and we've got to be careful. In Genesis chapter 11, you don't need to turn there, because I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 12. But at the end of Genesis chapter 11, we read about a man named Terah. And Terah lived in Ur. And Ur is in modern-day Iraq. Terah had three sons, one being Abraham, or as we would know him as Abram. Terah left Ur with his sons, traveled about 700 miles northwest of Baghdad to Haran, which is located just inside the border of Turkey, on the border of Turkey and Syria. And we don't know how old Abraham was when he left Ur with his family. However, we know how old he was when he left Haran when God called him. And Genesis 12:1 tells us, "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." Let's skip on down to verses 4 and 5. "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him," which was a big mistake. God didn't ask for him to come along. And Lot almost got him in trouble several times. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. 75 years old. Verse 5. "Then Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions, and that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan." Now I want you to see something here first. Abraham becomes exceedingly wealthy, right, as he's in Canaan. But he was already wealthy, by the way. He had possessions, he had land, and we don't understand this because it's a different time, it's a different day, but he owned people. And so he had great wealth, and it wasn't like we think of as today in modern terms of slavery. But what I'm saying is this, you belonged to usually a patriarch figure. He owned a business. If you were a herdsman, you often belonged to him. But you often had rights. If you'll remember, Abraham did not have an heir and he was going to look at one of his household servants as the possible heir. I believe it was Eliezer, right? And so we're not talking on the same terms here. So Abraham leaves Haran. He departs for Canaan. He's already wealthy. He's 75 years old. Now think about that. His faith journey begins at the age of 75. And he leaves his country. He leaves his family. And I think there are some things, there's a reason why God calls him out. I mean, number one, we understand that there's a place God's calling them to, a physical land which God's calling him to. But there's other reasons why God called him out of that place to another place. This is one we often overlook. Joshua 24, verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods." Abraham did not grow up monotheistic. Abraham did not grow up serving the one true God. God called him out of that culture of polytheism, of many gods. God called him out to establish a people that would worship the one true God, a people whom he could establish Messiah through. Throughout the Word of God, Abraham demonstrates obedient faith. However, there were times where this great patriarch, he disobeys God, and he makes poor choices. How many of you have ever made poor choices before? Abraham made some poor choices. But listen to me. His life was not defined by those poor choices. Can I tell you this? When you make a poor choice, your life should not be defined by those poor choices. Your life should be defined by your faith in the living God. Your life should be defined as a child of God, not by the mistakes that we made. And that's why it's important. If you make a mistake, you keep on keeping on. Amen? You brush yourself off, you get back, and you serve God, you get right back on track. If you stay off track, that's where we get in trouble. But you get right back. Don't allow your mistakes to define who you are. God did not call Abram out when he was a young man full of dreams and aspirations. God did not call Abram out of his people when times were rough. Times were good. God did not call Abram away when it was convenient for Abram. God called Abram out when he was 75 years old. Now, here's my point. Generally, 75-year-old people are stubborn. See, 75 years old, you're not into change a whole lot. You're more comfortable, you're more set in your ways, and sometimes we would fear what we already have, we don't want to lose it. It's not a time we go risking things. You don't go risking, are you following me? You don't go risking your investments at 75 years of age. We're in a culture, we understand that. When we get to a certain age, we want to be comfortable. We don't want to risk things. But God calls this man out at 75 years of age. And leave his gods, leave his many gods, leave his family, leave his business, leave his land. Go to a land he's never seen before, and a land that God is promising to give, but what happens to be occupied by other people. All this at age 75. Church, first of all, you're never too old, never too young to obey God. No matter what your age is, no matter what your circumstances are, when God calls you, you respond obediently by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed. He obeyed God. And he was called out to go to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Can you imagine that? At 75 years old, leaving his family, starting all over, so to speak, risking it all to follow a God who, listen, think about this, he's in a polytheistic culture, many gods. In fact, for people to believe in one God was superstitious. They didn't. How could you believe in one God? How on earth could you ever believe there was one God? See, we look at it the other way through Christian eyes. How could you believe in many gods? But in their day and age, it was many gods. It wasn't just a singular God. It was looked at to be foolish to think there was only one God. Abraham leaves his many gods, his family, everything he knows, and he responds obediently by faith. Man, I hope you're seeing the picture of faith exampled by our faith father. Abraham was a man who demonstrated his faith through obedience. Again, he's our progenitor. He's our originator. And again, don't you think our faith should look similar to our father, our faith father? Abraham obeyed God from a natural perspective, but he also obeyed God from an eternal perspective. And the writer of Hebrews lets us know that Abraham understood. As the writer recounts Abraham's actions and Abraham's attitude, he's basically relaying to us that Abraham understood he's pursuing a natural homeland, but he understands that he's pursuing a heavenly homeland as well. As he responds to the revelation of God, he understands who God is and what God's calling him to. And listen, your faith example, every person in here, it doesn't matter how old you are, as you serve Jesus, your faith example is important to everyone. It's important to yourself, it's important to your family, it's important to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. If you don't have any great-grandchildren and you go to this church, your faith is important to these younger people. Listen, that's why it's so important. And I can't stand it when we hear churches fighting and bickering and destroyed, because here's what happens is that younger generation goes out the door and they never come back because of the nasty display of religion they see. You find a church that is void of young people, I guarantee you can trace it back to a church fight somewhere and church nastiness. See, these kids, when they go to camp, Holt Assembly of God, man, that's home away from home. This is their church. They love it. But when you destroy that, when you begin to fight and to bicker, I don't know why I'm saying this, but when you begin to destroy that image, that picture that they have, that innocence, that goodness, they understand that, listen, there's an ugly side to this. There's a side that I don't see, and there's a side I don't want to see, because I can get that at home. I can get that at school. So thank God. Let's pray that your church stays in unity. Amen? And make sure that you keep our church in unity. Amen? Like I said, how you do that? Check your self card at the door. Always do it. Does your faith display the action of obedience as Abraham? That's what I want you to ask for yourself this morning. Does your faith display the action of obedience as Abraham? I'm not asking you to do you need to leave everything? That's what I'm saying. If I want you to put it on, you understand what God's called you to do, what God's calling you to go, what God's speaking to you. It might be as simple as a ministry change, but it might be as simple as this, making a change in your life, your attitude. Are you just being obedient to God? Are you being obedient to God? Sometimes situations will arise. They'll test the legitimacy of our faith. And God will allow these. But we don't like to hear that, do we? Do you know that God will test your faith? I didn't say tempt you. I said test, amen? Test. God won't tempt us. Bible clearly tells us that he won't tempt us. But he will test our faith. He'll see if it's conceptual. He'll see if it's mental. He'll see if it's wishy-washy. He'll see if it's temporal rather than eternal. He has to. Why? Because he loves you. Because faith pleases God, not belief, not hope. All those things are great. But God is pleased with faith. By faith, listen, faith gives us access to God's grace. Amen? If you don't believe that God will test our faith, read the book of Job. If you don't believe that God will test our faith, read about Joseph in Egypt. If you don't believe God will test our faith, read about Daniel in Babylon. If you don't believe that God will test our faith, read about Jesus in the wilderness, tempted. God will allow trials to inspect the strength and the validity of our faith. Why? Because he loves you. Belief will never please God. Faith pleases God. God made a promise to Abram. From his body would emerge nations, generations. Generations as numerous as the stars in the sky. Yet Sarah remained barren. This tested that patriarch's faith day after day. God calls him at age 75. Day after day, that promise goes by void. Abraham, well advanced in age, Sarah as well. Both of them promised a child.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The Word of God calls believers to walk by faith and not by sight. It's my hope that your faith has been encouraged by this message. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a home church, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, or adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.